it's challenging philosophy, and it's after breakfast. So I should have told you, don't eat a big breakfast. But then your mind might be sluggish. A sluggish mind isn't going to be able to follow all this. Small. I need the other slide changer. We heard Prahlad Maharaj touch on the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy. This is, again, it's Jiva Goswami's terminology. Describing what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, and what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught is Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahaprabhu's philosophy are the same, so it's in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduate study of Bhagavad Gita, so it's in Bhagavad Gita, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So, the relationship of all things with Krishna is everything comes from Krishna. And in that sense, there's a relationship of oneness of all things with Krishna. And Krishna being the source and things being emanations from the source, there's difference, which includes everything. It includes even the expansions of Krishna are one with and different from Krishna. So if you were Prahlad Maharaj and you had been given a service assignment to teach bhakti, how would you do it? Well, one of the things that he's doing is bhakti has both of these elements of difference and non-difference. So we heard, some of you were not with us perhaps, but we heard Prahlad emphasizing the oneness aspect of all things with Krishna and or the Supreme Lord, and therefore the only way to get free from the influence of his energy was taking shelter of him because he's in control of it and it's his. And he's not there, so take shelter of him. That's how. And then he touched on a difference aspect. So rather than review all of that, this is a very substantial section philosophically. And so we're going to go through a say ahead of time. There's two similar references to what we're going to be hearing. One is from Bhagavad Gita, the verses 4 through 10. We're not going to cover all of them, but the essential concept. So this is a Bhagavad Gita class in one sense. Our acharyas call this Aishvarya Gyan. Knowledge of a feature of Krishna's opulence, and that is his relationship with the material world. It's not easy to understand. Theologies are all over the place with the relationship between the material world and the source of the material world. In Bhagavad Gita, in these verses, Krishna doesn't make it easy. It's puzzling. First he says, all beings are in me. First of those verses. And then he says, everything that is created does not rest in me. Contradiction, right? how does this work? It's a seeming paradox. Well, one of the many ways that our acharyas have explained this is this non-difference and difference have some function. The difference function, just like Prahlad spoke about earlier in his prayers, it awakens or facilitates, it nourishes the mood of service because God is very great and we're very small. Therefore, we should serve him. The dasya feature of awe and reverence is enhanced by this difference aspect. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is there's greater intimacy than awe and veneration. And for that intimacy or closer feeling of love, this abheda feature, it's Mahaprabhu's teaching or the teaching of the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna has both oneness and difference. So here's Bhagavad Gita chapter 9. This Aishwarya Gyan stimulates reverence and devotion. We want to serve him when there's proper faith. So here's the verse, Mayatatamidam Sarvam Jagat Avyaktamurtina Matstani Sarva Bhutani. Krishna's saying, by me, my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So, some explanation of this Avyakta Murti, Baladev in his commentary writes, I pervade this whole universe in my form, which is invisible, and simultaneously all entities are within me, but I am not in them. And he gives the example of sunshine. So many things are resting in the sunshine, which is all pervasive. There's some sunshine. So many things situated in the sunshine. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's another reference to it. Therefore, material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified, spiritualized, like our... Here's two children, they're looking through microscopes, or magnifying glasses rather, looking at nature, and they're looking for God. Is God in this flower, or is God in this leaf, and where do I find God? He's all pervasive in his Avyaktamurti. Everything is resting in the sunshine, everything is resting in Krishna. I want to get to the verses, but the concept is very important, so just touch on a topic that's from Kapiladev's teaching. In Kapiladev's teaching, he explains the all-pervasive ness of the personality of Godhead, and Prabhupada, this is this Avyaktamurti, he's all pervasive in three ways. One, his energy. Two, Brahman. Three, Paramatma. And all three are resting on Krishna. His material energy, Brahman, and Paramatma. He's the pratishtha of all. Paramatma is his expansion. His expansion comes from him. Prakriti comes from him. Brahman is resting upon him. So who sees him? We may not see him. So the explanation can be seen, meaning that's the subtlest of material elements, and then all other material elements. So within the element, we see the element, but we should know behind the element, the unseen support of the element is Krishna. We'll say it again slightly differently. When covering today, the process of creation, there's three verses and then it continues on this evening. In the process of creation, who does it? Lord Vishnu does. He glances over the totality of material energy in its undifferentiated form, pradhan. And the time energy is carried with his glance, and the time pradhan, along with the living entity, and then things start to separate out, the elements. So what the first of them is false ego. So false ego doesn't separate out. It's his reflected energy. There's Rama Devi and the reflection of Rama Devi, Chaya Devi, his energy and the reflection of his energy, which is agitated by his glance, false ego, and the whole shebang. Krishna is there. Now, we don't see false ego, but we see other elements, earth, water, fire, air. We don't see sky. Earth, water, fire. We can see the influence of sky as it blows leaves and creates hurricanes and things. It moves water and moves clouds. And we can see the influence of the clouds. Anyway, we can see the presence of Krishna within everything. His avyaktamurti is all pervasive. Through his prakriti, through Brahman, through Paramatma. He's everywhere. Just like Prahlad said to Hiranyakashipu, "Whoa, where is Vishnu?" He's everywhere. And in three ways he's everywhere, as mentioned. So we can see Krishna everywhere if we have the eyes to see. And for those who have become very elevated to the stage of prema, they can see the form of Shyamasundara everywhere. I wonder what that's like. We'll find out, right? Hopefully we'll find out. Back to, it's the Sushincha Beta Beta Tattva. Everything is within Krishna, and everything is not within Krishna. He's pervasive everywhere through his impersonal feature. So, commentary explains, greedy people see money, or potential for money, everywhere. And devotees, because of their attachment for Krishna, they see Krishna everywhere. You see what you're attached to. Even though there's no money, you see the money, the potential there. So, Krishna says, "Behold my mystic opulence. Matstani, natcha matstani bhutani." First he says, matstani, then na cha matstani bhutani. Everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. There's his mystic opulence. There's what Brahma saw. There's Krishna. And each of the cowherd boys, there's having his lunch, and calves. And simultaneously, not, you know, the boys disappear and the Vishnu forms are seen. Simultaneously both. That's Krishna's mystic opulence. What's the limit? No limit. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. there's Krishna's self. And through the agency of his expansions, Vishnu Tattva expansions, the Purusha avatars, the universe has come into being. He's the source, but he's not present in that which comes from the source. He is and he is not. He is and he is not. Because the not part is he's the source. That's the beta part. That's the Bhagavan feature. Prabhupada explains. When we hear that everything is resting upon Krishna, we should not imagine him to be something like Atlas in Greek mythology, holding the globe on his shoulders and looking very tired. Looks, doesn't look so tired. He looks pretty strong, though. But he's standing on a mountain peak that's a little risky. Krishna is aloof from this material creation, the Krishna that we saw beyond the cloud of the material energy. Simply by his supreme will, everything is carried out perfectly by his inconceivable energies. He is different from this material creation, manifestation, yet he is also personally present. How? By his expansion, he's personally present. This is his mystic power. The living beings are not in me. See my inconceivable power. I maintain them. This is commentary. Baladev. I maintain them and protect them, but I am not in them. My mind maintains and protects them. We'll see. He does the word for word. Yoga. Baladev again. Yoga is defined as, quote, the means by which something very difficult is accomplished, yujate. That's the Sanskrit word from which yoga has come. Yoga thus refers here to the Lord's form endowed with inconceivable shakti, whose quality is that his every desire is fulfilled without effort. What does he do? He desires, no effort. And satya sankalpa shakti means his intention. His intention is reality. The same term satya sankalpa, you'll see this again in a moment, but Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, when describing the Damodar Leela, we were all observing the Damodar month and the Damodar song, and Mother Jasoda is trying to bind Krishna with rope, and it's 2 inches too short. More rope, it's 2 inches too short. More rope, it's 2 inches too short. Vishwanath says it's because Krishna was exercising his satya sankalpa shakti. And nothing transgresses that because he wants, and that's it. He wanted to go get some more butter and yogurt. He didn't want to be bound. Satya sankalpa shakti. Forget it, Mother Jasoda. Ain't going to happen. But her bhakti was so strong in parental affection, I can't let my son just go stealing. When he grows up as a thief, it's my motherly love. I have to discipline him. So he withdraws his satya sankalpa shakti and extends his kripa shakti. Same message. What entitles one to kripa, to mercy, it's your devotion. And it may not be, you snap your fingers and say, Krishna, I got devotion, so please jump. Not going to be like that. Shouldn't be like that. But it's his will, sankalpa. We know this from our japa retreat. Sankalpa means intention. Satya sankalpa is his intention. And his intention is satya, is truth. That's all. That's all he does. He just has some culpa. Supposing, you know, we had that capacity. I'd like to become a pure devotee. Satya Sankalpa Shakti. Boom! Pure devotee. We require mercy. Krishna's mercy. We make some endeavor, but we require Krishna's mercy. So, here's Baladev's explanation. I maintain and protect all beings from the verse, Bhuta, Rit. But I have no contact with them at all. Because my mind, Mama Atma, takes care of them. Bhuta, Bhavana. This is an explanation of these verses that are explaining the difference and non-difference of Krishna with the cosmic manifestation, the material creation. He's non-different and different. It goes directly into what Prahlad is going to say. You'll see. I maintain and protect them by my extraordinary yoga. Remember that definition of what yoga means. That which is not easily accomplished, yujate. By my satya sankalpa shakti. I do not have to act with my body to do this. By the command of that, this is now a confirmation from the Upanishads. By the command of that imperishable Lord Ogargi, sun and moon remain in their positions. By the command of that imperishable Lord Ogargi, heaven and earth remain in their positions. And for that matter, they are withdrawn as well. Okay, here comes Krishna's plan. Whoa. Krishna's determination is itself actual fact. This is Bhagavad Gita purport. Krishna's determination, satya sankalpa shakti, right? Krishna's determination is satya. It's itself actual fact. We're different. We don't have it. We may think of doing something, but there are so many impediments, and sometimes it's not possible to do as we like. But when Krishna wants to do something, simply by his willing, everything is performed so perfectly that one cannot imagine how it is being done. And so you come up with all kinds of other ideas, if you're a scientist especially. Chance. Big Bang. Let's try another one. Good. Oh. That's Bhagavad Gita's Sachinchi Beta Beta Tat. So now here comes Prahlad's graduate study, Achinchi Beta Beta Tatva. The oneness of all things with Krishna. And then comes this Veda. So it starts with a Veda. So Krishna alone exists in all phases of time. We have to bear in mind, I'm reminding you, that time is essential. Time as we know it is essential for events, as we know events. There's another kind of events, timeless ones, that these are the reflection of, but these events that we're familiar with requires time. In all phases of time, Krishna alone exists. Now, those of you that are, this is a second reference, Bhagavatam reference, previous was those verses of chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita. One of the Bhagavatam references here is, there are four verses in the entire 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam that are essential. The Chatur Shloki, and this is one of them. The first of them, actually. Aham Evasam Evagre, very famous verse. Prior to the cosmic manifestation, Aham, I alone exist. And no phenomena exist. After creation, only I exist. In everything. And after annihilation, I alone remain eternally. So reality, this is the abheda aspect of the Supreme Lord. Everything has this feature of oneness with Him. And similarly, taking that essential verse of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad's going to teach it in two verses and then expand it in another five. So it starts with this phrase, Ekas Tvam Eva Jagat. Jagat we know, that means universe or cosmic manifestation. Eka means one. Tvam means you. You alone exist within this universe. You alone manifest yourself as the universe, the feature of oneness. That's what this verse is saying. Here's the translation. My dear Lord, you alone manifest yourself as the entire cosmic manifestation. For you existed before the creation, you exist after the annihilation, and you are the maintainer between the beginning and the end. All this is done by your external energy through actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, whatever exists externally and internally is you alone, not just yours, but you. There's also the yours part, but this is the you part. And here's Prabhupada explaining this in the purport. The activities of the Lord are transcendental. All of these have to do with the cosmic manifestation or creation. All these verses this morning or this midday and then this evening as well. What's his relationship with everything? Understanding it permits one to engage in devotional service and to spiritualize everything. Because he's already spoken about spiritualizing everything. Or Prabhupada's purport did. To create this cosmic manifestation, Govinda expands his external energy and enters into everything in this universe. And in this way, he exists in the entire cosmic manifestation. So, here is this phrase again. Ekas Tvam Eva Jagat Etam. You are everything. Similar, Chandogya Upanishad, famous for the impersonalist, Sarvam Kalv Idam Brahma. Look that word up in folio or word search in Prabhupada's writings, and you'll find it many, many times, and he explains it many, many times. Jiva Goswami explains it many, many times. And the Bhagavatam is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra explaining it many, many times. Here's one of those explanations. Just as the energy and energetic are one, so everything is one. And different. The energy is not the energetic. Continuing. While everything is one with Krishna, Krishna remains aloof, just as he says in chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita. And in this verse, text 31, we're going to go through up to 34, so after breakfast, and hope you're not too sleepy, your brain is not sluggish because it's subtle. In the verse itself, there's this comparison between a seed and the tree that comes from the seed. One is the cause and the other is effect. And once the tree is grown, you don't see the seed from which the tree grew anymore. And similarly, Krishna is the source of everything. We don't see Krishna. We see everything that comes from Krishna. It doesn't mean it didn't come from Krishna. Or another is Madhvacharya explaining a tree and a tree that's on fire. It's the same tree. Phases of time are differentiating one state and another state. That's all. And similarly, phases of time being under the control of the Supreme Lord time is different from him, and the influences that time acts make things different from him. So what are we doing? Non-different than different simultaneously. Prahlad is giving a little class on Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So, Sadasad Isha Bhavas Bhavangs Tato Nyo. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic manifestation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is an effect of your energy. There's a difference, cause and effect. Source of energy is in the energy. Although the cosmic manifestation is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. Right? Chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita. The conception of mine and yours that was very dear to Hiranyakashipu is certainly a type of illusion, because everything is an emanation from you and therefore is not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is non-different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. The illustration to the right is Mother DeSoto looking within the mouth of Krishna to see if he's eaten dirt, because Balaram and the other cowherd boys accused him of having eaten dirt, and Mother DeSoto was concerned. Krishna crossed his arms across his chest and said, "They're liars. I haven't eaten dirt." And they're saying, "He's eaten dirt." Mother DeSoto said, "Well, if you haven't eaten dirt, then open your mouth. I want to see." You know, good mother tactic. So she looks inside his mouth, and what she sees? She doesn't see dirt. She sees everything, because everything is within Krishna. Everything is within Krishna. And it can be manifest externally, it can be internally, or simultaneously both. For him, it's not a problem, because everything is within Krishna. Part of the translation reads this: the relationship between your lordship and the cosmic and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. So, there's pictures of some trees. The seed from which the tree grow, you can't see anymore, because the cause is now transformed into the effect. So it's not a one-to-one correlation between the two, but Krishna being the seed or the source of everything, we don't see the source of everything within everything. Or another example that's given. This is in the purport. Everything exists in time. And the three phases of time, past, present, future, is time. One. Every day, the time factor is experienced as morning, noon, and evening, and everything taken together is one. A day, or time. Continues in the purport. Similarly, everything passes through time's phases of past, present, and future, yet the Lord is always the same. This is a difference feature. He is Nitya Shashvata, a phrase from Bhagavad Gita. Eternal, permanent. So, phases of time change the cosmic manifestation, which is not different than the Lord and is different from the Lord, because it's influenced by the phases of time, which is his energy. All this is just different ways of explaining Achintya Bheda Bheda type of philosophy, the relationship of all things with Krishna. And he's dealing, Prahlad is, He's a spiritual scientist. He's dealing with something besides Big Bang. He's explaining how things come into being. So, Baladev Vidyabhusan says, Keshava Tuya Jagat Vichitra. My dear Lord, your creation is full of varieties. There's no difference between one thing and another thing, yet in varieties there are differences. Non-different, different. Non-different, different. Of all things. Madhvacharya gives this example of a tree. Look at that, a Christmas tree. And then when it's all over, they burn the Christmas tree. Or just leave it out on the sidewalk until the sanitation people come along. They've had piles of leaves out here that sanitation is supposed to pick up, and they never picked it up. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Madhvacharya gives this example of a tree and a tree that's on fire. Both trees are the same, but because of phases of time, they look different. The time factor, this is important. The time factor, being under the control of the Supreme Lord, is therefore different from the Supreme Lord. But we also hear, time I am. Non-difference and difference. All things have this relationship. And where is this all going? The advanced devotee doesn't distinguish between happiness and distress. Look at Prahlad, you know. He doesn't see fearful Nrisingadev, and he doesn't see lamenting his father's goner. He understands that, you know, the devotees are happy his father's gone because he was tormenting. In the purport, Prabhupada makes reference to a verse that says the same thing or similar, and it's from Brahma's Prayers to Krishna, chapter 14 of 10th canto, quoted in the purport here, special emphasis going to this phrase, Mukti Pade Swadayabhat, or if you just stay fixed in devotional service to the Supreme Lord at his lotus feet, you achieve liberation. Literally, you inherit the property of your father. That's what it means. Mukti Pade. So Dayabak. Dayabak in Vedic culture, when the father has property, he doesn't need to write a will, the son inherits the property of the father. He also inherits the debts of the father. So not a good idea to leave debts, because then your eldest son will inherit your debts as well as your property. No. So he's saying to Krishna, I just have to stay on this path. Whatever reactions, distress, misery because of my misdeeds, I'll accept it. I'm just going to do one thing. I'm not going to try to counter the misdeeds and the reactions to the misdeeds. I'm just going to do one thing. What's that one thing? Stay fixed in service to your lotus feet. For by so doing, I know that I'll inherit the property of my father. What's that? Spiritual world. We tolerate the reactions of our past misdeeds while not allowing the mind to budge an inch from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, meaning being engaged in his loving service. And Prabhupada ends this purport with this explanation. A son inherits the property of his father. Similarly, when the devotee is fully Krishna conscious and disturbed by dualities, he is sure that he will return home when inherits his father's property. Now, in the West, people can do other things besides this one. They can make a will where their dog gets the property instead of... They do it too. Prabhupada made a remark like that because the Detroit Temple previously was owned by Mr. Fisher, famous for Body by Fisher. He was the designer of chassis for the auto industry. But he didn't have a wife and children, but he had a dog. So he willed his estate to his dog. And then the people that are the, I don't know how long the dog lived, but then when the dog died, then they had to have the liquidation of his estate. So the devotees bought his Fisher Mansion because it was previously owned by the dog who died. So that's my understanding of the history. And Prabhupada was, he didn't say, you know, Mr. Fisher, but he said, you know, some people, they don't take shelter of God, and so they take shelter of dog, and they have such affection for the dog, they will their property to their dog. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Everything is one, the Supreme Lord, yet everything is separate from the Lord. This is the understanding of oneness and difference, which Prahlad is teaching in the form of prayers. So that's the introduction to the Chinta Beda Beda type of philosophy. But it's you know, fasten your seatbelt, because it's going further into the process of creation. We heard about the time energy of the Lord agitates Pradhan and things separate out, and that energy is his energy, the time energy is his energy, there's this non-difference and difference simultaneously. Like the seed and the tree, like the tree and the tree that's on fire. Because the phases of time, past, present, and future, are under the Lord's control, time energy is different than him. So now we're going to go to Yoga Nidra. Newer devotees may not be familiar with this term. It's the reference of what Lord Vishnu, particularly Mahavishnu, does. Nidra means sleep. But the message is his sleeping is different than our sleeping. We still use the same word, Nidra. Ours is a perverted reflection of his. His is Yoga Nidra. And in that Yoga Nidra, he's enjoying pastimes with his internal potency within. Rama, Devi, and Vishnu are enjoying pastimes together. That's what Yoga Nidra is. So, here's the next verse, 32. Again, dealing with creation. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation of the creative energy is kept in you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes, actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss as Karana Dakshayi Vishnu or Mahavishnu. You thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects. Although you appear to sleep, the sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. The difference feature. There's Mahavishnu reclining in the causal ocean. Whole cosmic soup is floating around him. Okay, so text 33. While the cosmic manifestation comes from you, thus is part of you, it's different. This is more emphasis on the difference feature. And again, he's in a short, you know, fast forward compared to Canto 3, which is slow motion, is describing the steps and stages of creation. There we go. Okay. This cosmic manifestation, there's the universes coming out of the body of Mahavishnu. Well, means the seeds are coming out of his body, and then the elements congeal or cling to those seeds of universes. The cosmic manifestation, the material world, is also your body. Well, the elements have come from him, and the seeds of the universes have come from him, and in that sense, it's his body. But, at the same time, this total lump of matter is agitated by your potent energy known as Kala Shakti. That's Mahavishnu glancing over the material energy, and his glance carries the living entities and the time energy, Kala Shakti, and thus the dormant Prakriti starts to become agitated and the three modes of material nature become manifested. There's the three modes of material nature overseeing the affairs of Prakriti. And there's a feature of Paramatma who is overseeing the affairs of the modes of nature. You awaken from the bed of Shesha, Ananta. This is now the next Vishnu form, expanded within every universe. Garbhadakshay Vishnu reclines on Ananta Shesha. And from your navel, a small transcendental seed is generated. It is from this seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested, exactly as a banyan tree grows from a small seed. So, conclusion is that both the material world and spiritual world are considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord. We can understand that the material body is caused by the spiritual body, and therefore an expansion of the spiritual body. Thus, when one takes up spiritual activities, one's entire material body is spiritualized. So we were discussing this morning. So, the body of the Supreme Lord is the universe, and the body of the Jiva soul is their individual body. And then the Supreme Soul is manifest within the individual soul and becomes the knower of all fields of activity. But it's because this body is a manifestation of spirit that it can become spiritualized. That is to say, it can be engaged in devotional service. Oops. As long as we do not realize this, we live in the material world. But when we are fully Krishna conscious, we live not in the material world, but in the spiritual world. So this place becomes spiritualized. It becomes Vaikuntha. Simple distinction. Material pleasure means pleasure of the senses. Spiritual pleasure means pleasure of Krishna's senses. Everything has its purpose for the pleasure of Krishna. That's the spiritual world, that spiritual consciousness. Everything becomes spiritualized through that consciousness. And the last verse for this midday session. He's carrying on with the process of creation. So it's the glance of Mahavishnu, time, energy, things start to separate. Garbhadakshay Vishnu enters within each universe. From his navel comes Lord Brahma. From a lotus flower, atop Lord Brahma is, atop the lotus flower is Lord Brahma. And he can't find the source of, he's intelligent. So I'm top of a lotus flower. Lotus flower has a stem. I just follow down the stem and I'll find out where I came from. Very logical. And so he climbs down the lotus stem, but he can't find the source because the explanation given is when a seed fructifies, the original seed cannot be seen. And then there's this other example that Prabhupada gives in the purport, that is, you have cotton, and from cotton you can make a thread, and then you don't see the cotton ball anymore. And then from the thread you can make cloth, and you don't see the individual thread anymore. Like we're, you know, seated on some thing with threads. You know, that there's threads, but you don't see the threads. And it's made of whatever it's made of. You don't see the thing that it's made of. You see the cloth. Although there's thread. And then there's the source of the thread, whatever the material is. So here's the verse, final verse for this session, showing an acorn and an oak tree in the back. Here's the translation. From that great lotus flower, Brahma was generated. But Brahma certainly could see nothing but the lotus. Therefore, thinking you to be outside, Lord Brahma dove into the water and attempted to find the source of the lotus for 100 years. Now, normally here he did meditation for that duration, but now he's saying he searched for that duration. But he could find no trace of you. For when a seed fructifies, original seed cannot be seen. There's original seed. And there's the tree, you know. There's the tree. Where's the original seed? So Prabhupada explains in the purport, when cotton is transformed into thread, the cotton is no longer visible. When the thread is woven into cloth, the thread is no longer visible. To be continued. Now this is, it's a lesson in creation in one sense, but it's a kind of fast-forward explanation compared to Canto 3 of the process of creation. Now, the Bible just makes it really simple. God said, let there be such and such, and there was, and it was good. That's really fast-forward. But it's the same principle as Icha Shakti, his desire potency, Satya Sankalpa Shakti. He said, didn't even have to say, just thought it. He desired it. And it was good. So now it's stages, hearing his desire, and then the energies are moving, and we're hearing something about his energies moving. And then his expansions, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, we're going to hear about Paramatma, the Shiradakshay Vishnu. Prahlad's 6 years old, and he understands all this. He didn't hear it from Sanda and Marka in Asura Kula. He didn't hear it there. He heard it from Narada. And he didn't forget because he's has this capacity for remembrance because he heard very, very well. Tightly, one of the qualities of intelligence or characteristics of intelligence is good memory. So those of us that have a bad memory says something. Especially when you get older, memory goes, whew. But he's remembering and he's offering prayers according to what he heard from Narada. And it's on this basis that he's his devotee, the Lord Vishnu devotee, and nothing else. And how does he know all this? From Narada, and so there's nothing else. Narada and the Supreme Lord. I know. We're going to hear. It's not like I don't care about anybody else. It's just me and Vishnu. See you guys later. He has compassion for all living entities. It's just part of being a devotee. We discussed this. We'll discuss it again. He has great compassion. Amazing compassion. Like Haridas Thakur, wanting the deliverance of all living entities. Haridas, this when Lord Chaitanya said, Haridas, it's no surprise you're speaking this way. You are non-different from Prahlad Maharaj. So it's when Haridas is being asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm in anxiety. Lord Chaitanya, how can I deliver the non-devotees? And he said, you've already delivered them. Just by your coming into this world, you've delivered them. And Lord Chaitanya said, Haridas, consider what you're saying. I see so many living entities. I see so many trees and animals and birds. And Haridas says, it's true. You delivered them all, and then the non-moving living entities took their place. How does he know that? Because he is Haridas. And Haridas is wishing the deliverance of everyone, and so no surprise that you're speaking this way. You're not different than Prahlad Maharaj. So both are... Haridas was not like super scholar, learned in that sense, but he had realization of everything. And Prahlad is just a little boy that didn't have any teachings other than Narada's teachings, and bad association other than that one good association in this, you know, lifetime as Prahlad. But he's fixed. And, you know, we're not of Prahlad's caliber, but we have plenty of opportunity to hear from our founder Acharya and read his books, and, you know, we're covered, and we're lazy, and we're unfortunate. We're products of Kali Yuga. But there's hope, and that hope is the merciful nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan movement and his wonderful representatives in the process of purification that's custom made for Kali Yuga folks like us. Regardless of our birth, regardless of our education, regardless of our socio-economic condition or any other thing. No material... It's Prahlad's example. No material qualification. And conversely, no material disqualification. So, what's the requirement? Just be in the right place at the right time and some mercy falls on your head. And you say, thank you. And then continue having the downpouring of mercy only, you know, through your ears and into your heart and into your life, and continue and apply and live the life of devotion and gradually mature in devotional service. Continue hearing, continue chanting, continue worshiping in this way, following in the footsteps of personalities like Prahlad. Just keep going. Whatever the obstacle is, keep going with faith in the hearing and chanting process in good association, careful to avoid offense. And the ocean of devotional service is awaiting us. So any comments or questions? Do we have the microphone? Oh, you have the microphone. Okay. Well, I saw that hand first, so if we go to that hand first, then we'll come over here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I got lost at the part where you explained that Krishna is simultaneously different and non-different from his energies. And then you showed a slide that stated that a devotee, therefore...
A devotee what?
That the devotee doesn't make a distinction between happiness or distress, something like that.
That's Prabhupada in his purport. So it's the emphasis there is on the non-difference feature. And for the devotee who is in the... Because non-difference enhances this dasya. We're qualitatively like Krishna. So I belong to Krishna. And let me... He is very great there's a difference in that sense. He's very great, I'm very small, therefore I should serve him. So I'm serving him. And while I'm serving him, whatever the circumstance, because everything is from him, it's from him, it's his. And so I accept it. Good fortune, ill fortune. I accept it. My position is not the temporary good fortune, ill fortune. My position is the eternal, I'm his servant, and let me just stay fixed in his service. Therefore, so what flows next is just stay engaged in his service, the verse of Lord Brahma, and you'll go back to Godhead. Just good fortune, ill fortune. We see it with equal disposition, or one who's fixed in the mood of service to Krishna sees with equal disposition. It's not like, oh, bring on the ill fortune. And this good fortune, get rid of it. It's you know, they're neutral. It's just service or service or different circumstances of service. By staying fixed like that, the indifference goes to the circumstance because focus goes to the position of service. Duality is something we can transcend, if not at least tolerate, because of something that's higher and more important, the position of service. So here's a position of service Krishna is providing me. It's not my favorite on the menu list of circumstances, but it's what Krishna has provided me. And so it's just an opportunity for service. That's the spirit that is being expressed in the verse, and Prabhupada is illustrating it that way.
Guru Maharaj, my question is from last night class about this point about the fulcrum of the mind. And this question is about dealing with the deceptive mind.
Dealing with?
Deceptive mind.
Defective mind.
No, deception.
Insufficient mind.
Deception.
Deception mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was just, I was referring to the picture of Picasso, that image of mind being the best friend or the worst enemy.
Yeah.
And then one of the thing is that one of the functioning of the material mind is that there is a negative bias, and there is this thing of that actually the deceptive mind is more convincible and more believable.
The deceptive mind is more
convincible and more believable. It's just that because of the material conditioning, we are more.
Okay.
We relate more to that than to the friend aspect.
Well, we're habituated to it. We've been hanging out too long with the deceptive mind.
Yeah. And also, like that image of that picture, it's not black and white. In fact, the deceptive is sometimes it's so subtle that it feels more white than black.
Yeah.
So my question is that how do we recognize the deception at a very early stage or at the thought level?
This is really subtle. Without purity, it's not going to be possible. We can receive guidance through scripture, but you know, still, you know, there's the introspection factor when you take scripture, and we can, you know, interpret scripture or perceive the scriptural indication according to the deceptive mind. Not only we can, commonly we do. We're accustomed to it. I mean, what else can you do? There's filters, the modes of nature that are serve like filters of light or truth, and it comes in however it comes in. So, therefore, as you were sharing some while ago, and again here, and I've repeated it here, this ongoing series of refinements, you know, so that what that means is, let's assume safely that we're mixed devotees. We're not pure devotees. We're devotees. We're trying. But so, and then that means there's the modes of nature and the filters of the mind are operating. Therefore, it's a sincere desire lots of prayer and an ongoing sincere desire for purification. And as purification takes place, then a refinement or a realignment or adjustment of, you know, the, in response to your question. So specific to your question, deception is going on. Reality, to some extent, is also going on. And how do I discern? Well, I have to work with what I have to work with. I have to begin somewhere. So I begin with what I have to work with, recognizing my own introspection is faulty because I'm a conditioned soul. But I'm not going to stop introspecting because I'm a faulty conditioned soul. I'm going to do it because I'm enjoined to do so and trying to refine and realign to the light of Krishna, unfiltered, and just continue and continue and continue. Not being overly confident that I got it, and not being, you know, beating yourself up on the other side saying, oh, I'm this conditioned soul, and I can't get anything right because I'm a conditioned soul. You know, you're stuck. So, with the injunction to do so, become a transparent instrument of Krishna's will, my perception apparatus is defective because, specifically the mind, it reads things wrongly. And when, etc. When I look inside, I read things wrongly. I have to operate. So I'm operating with imperfect conceptions of things, myself and the world around me and others. That's the reality. Now, the question is, how do I distinguish? Well, as best you can, with the instructions received from those guiding you, with the scriptures, indication from Super Soul, knowing I'm not going to get it 100% correct, and keep moving. With faith in the bhakti process, the power of bhakti, when I sincerely apply it, less than perfect it may be, it will carry me. And stay always in good association. Be careful to avoid offense in that good association. Something over on the men's side. Yes, in the front, and then right behind him.
Guru Maharaj, my question is, everything both spiritual and material world are emanations from the Supreme Lord. So when something is emanated from the spiritual, it should be of nature spirit.
It should be?
It should be spiritual in nature when something is emanated from something spiritual, because Lord is all.
How can you get material coming from something spiritual? That's what you're saying?
Yes, Prabhupada.
Well, what does material mean? One definition is seeing something separate from Krishna, that's material. Seeing the same thing in relation to Krishna, that's spiritual. So now, how can seeing things separate from Krishna come about from Krishna? Well, it's one of his potencies. Because everything is within Krishna, including the deluding potency. It's within Krishna. And Krishna awards the deluding potency for those that want to be deluded. I mean, not exactly want to be deluded, but we want impossible when one is deluded. So Krishna gives that energy. He can withdraw it. But it's within Krishna. Everything is within Krishna, including the deluding potency.
So only out of illusion we are thinking there is something called matter is there. Otherwise,
no, it's real. Prakriti is real. Seeing it separate from Krishna, that's illusory.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you very much. Maharaj, this question is from the yesterday class.
You got to speak clearer. Keep going.
Because of Abheda Tattva, Lord is representing as a time. This was from the 7.9.22 from the yesterday's class. So,
you follow what he's saying? Try again.
Okay. Because of Abheda Tattva.
Because of?
Abheda Tattva.
Which Tattva?
Abheda Tattva.
Abhideya Tattva?
Abheda Tattva.
Achincha Beda Beda Tattva? Because of Achincha Tattva or Achincha Beda Beda Tattva?
Because of, we have both, Beda, Abheda, so I'm talking about, so Lord is represented as a time. In the purport, it was saying, so I'm just trying to understand.
It's one of his energies, and therefore Abheda. Time is one of his energies, and therefore none different than him. That's what you're saying here?
So,
is that what you're saying or no?
Yes. I'm
yes.
Trying,
okay.
Yes.
So now?
So could you explain it further, like how the Abheda Tattva makes the... to think that Lord is representative of time. So I'm trying to establish the link. What is...
Well, time... I'm seated way over here, and you're way over there. So we can't shake hands. But supposing I get a stick and put on the end of the stick a glove, and I extend the glove and we shake hands. So it's not, you're not, we're not shaking hands, but you're, you know, shaking hands with the glove at the end of the stick. So the glove at the end of the stick is the instrument of the hand. The instrument acts on behalf of the one wielding the instrument. Time acts as the instrument of Krishna. In that sense, none different than Krishna. But it's because this is energy under his control, it's different. There's the non-difference, and it brings things about and destroys things, time. It's his energy, and therefore non-different. Time I am, the destroyer of all things, Kalosmi. But also different. Because the energy, under the control of the energetic, they're not identical 100%. Does that answer your question? You look, you got a little funny thing across your forehead that says it doesn't answer your question.
So this answer applies to the even when we are talking about different also, like a Beda also. So
but it's simultaneously both. It's not either or. It's simultaneously both. That's the achintya part. Now, one of the reasons that may be difficult is because it's achintya. Inconceivable. I can mention some other inconceivable things that is spoken about in Scripture, and it's inconceivable because it's inconceivable. Here's one, right from the Upanishad. Bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest. Not first big and then small and then, you know, oscillating back and forth, big and small, simultaneously. Bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest, simultaneously. That's Krishna. Now, how does he do it? Through his potencies. And he expands himself as Mahavishnu. And then expansion, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, within the smallest particle of matter is the atom, and he's smaller than that. And it's the same time. And it's the same Vishnu. Not, you know, different. Same. Simultaneously. Whoa. I don't know. He's inside everything and outside everything. The word that we're using, paradox or contradiction. There are apparent contradictions within Krishna. And it must be because he's the source of everything. So there's also this and there's also that because he's the source of everything. And it's all within him. So now, time, back to your question. It's his energy. So it's none different than him. It doesn't exist apart from him. It's none different than him. But it's different than him in the sense that It's the energy. He's the energetic. He's the controller. It's controlled. So it's different. Non-different and different. Same time. It's a contradiction. Krishna is the... What's the word? Within Krishna is the resolution of all contradictions. It's in Kunti's prayers too. I mean, don't use that binary processor, the mind, to sort it out. Because it's either a one or a zero. It can't be a one and a zero. But for Krishna, it can be a one and a zero at the same time. And it's not like, okay, I'll kind of find it in between. It's both at the same time. And the binary processor can't fathom it because it's a binary processor. But it can be understood with spiritual intelligence. Where do we get that? What, Kmart or Target or, you know, who has that for sale? It comes from Krishna. Dadami buddhiyogam tam. It requires spiritual intelligence beyond the binary processor of the material mind to understand the inconceivable features of the Supreme. Prabhupada said in a really simple, he always had a way of saying things that are like really high in really simple ways. He said a sign of intelligence is to be able to hold within the intelligence two contradictory things at the same time. That's intelligence. That's a sign, it's a sign of intelligence. I mean, IQ, the material IQ tests are to examine your ability to discriminate one thing from another thing. That's what the intelligence does. It discerns differences between one thing and another thing. Look at IQ tests and that's what they're doing. There's another kind of intelligence, to be able to see both things at the same time. Within there's differences, there's samenesses. At the same time. And that's spiritual intelligence. Specifically in relation to the Supreme Spirit and how He is what He is and how He does what He does and everything. Just let go of the binary processor approach and try a different one. Put it on hold over there. We use our mind for some useful things. Not for this thing. Not the material mind. It'll bounce. Won't go in. You have to use a different approach. Hearing and activating spiritual acumen, spiritual intelligence. It may take a while to activate spiritual intelligence, but Krishna will give it if he sees Tesham Satatiyuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhiyogam Dadami. He gives it Buddhiyogam Tam. And the purpose of that, Yena Ma Upiyantite, to come to me. Don't be patient. Put on hold the binary processor approach to understand transcendence and try the bhakti process instead. Different approach. But it gives clarity of understanding, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, by direct perception. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam. Very pleasing. Different approach. And that's his introduction to the most confidential knowledge. You won't understand most confidential knowledge with the binary processor. It says it'll bounce. And we saw some verses from chapter 9. After Krishna says, you're not going to understand it that way, then he goes right ahead and says things that the binary processor isn't going to understand. It has to be understood in a different way. And Prahlad is giving some of that understanding. think I'm going to end because the kids are ready. It's drama time. Now, while they're getting ready, we'll give a microphone to the organizers, but the kids have really been worked up and enthused, and they want to entertain y'all. So be attentive while they do their thing. You want this? There's a portable microphone. Give her that one.